Today on Wings, massive displacement and genocide have been inflicted on indigenous communities in Guatemala for centuries. The women you'll hear today experienced that genocide in the 20th century and set about to reclaim their people's heritage and rights.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
La causa de los indígenas y la causa de las mujeres del mundo son similares.
The cause of the indigenous people and of the women of the world are similar.
En muchos momentos, las organizaciones populares, las organizaciones de viudas, de jóvenes, nunca fueron escuchados.
During many years, the popular organizations, the organizations of widows, of the young, of the indigenous people were not heard.
Nunca fueron escuchados y por eso, en mucho momento, la cooperación internacional pasó de lejos de los intereses de nuestros pueblos.
And because they were not listened to, the international cooperation past our nations and our peoples.
Y nosotros, como pueblos indígenas, tenemos un mensaje que decir hoy, finalizando siglo XX.
And today, as indigenous people, we have a message to speak out at the end of this 20th century.
Y el mensaje que podemos decir es que estamos vivos y queremos vivir por todos los siglos venideros.
And our message is that we're still alive and that we want to remain alive for centuries to come.
Nuestra cultura es válida.
Our culture has value.
Los secretos de nuestros antepasados vive y puede aportarle al mundo entero.
The secrets of our ancestors are alive and can contribute to the whole world.
Nosotros nos dio la vida la comunidad. La comunidad nos mantuvo y hoy la comunidad es válido para la vida de los pueblos.
It was our community that gave us life and sustenance and that will keep us alive.
Y por eso quizá este año y los años próximos van a ser años sumamente importantes para la vida y existencia de los pueblos indígenas.
This and coming years will be of extreme importance for the life and sustenance of the indigenous peoples.
That was Guatemalan Nobel Peace Laureate Rigoberta Menchú speaking in 1994 near the beginning of a quest that led to passage of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. She especially mentioned widows, because CONAVIGUA, the Organization of Indigenous Guatemalan Widows, had been founded 6 years before and was already a force seeking justice, peace, and reparations. Guatemala-based producer Maria Martin sent Wings this documentary about the founder of CONAVIGUA.
¿Aló?
Sí, habla María Martin, la periodista de la radio pública.
As the COVID-19 pandemic raged and Guatemala was under lockdown, I spent time on the phone with a remarkable woman. She's a human rights activist, and her story mirrors the long history of struggle of Guatemala's Maya, especially its women.
Bueno, mi nombre completo es Rosalina Tuyuc Velázquez.
From her home in the western highlands of Guatemala, Rosalina Tuyuc Velázquez tells me she belongs to the Cachiquel Maya linguistic community. She was born to a family of peasant weavers and artisans some 60 years ago.
Actualmente soy la coordinadora general de la organización de viudas de Guatemala, CONAVIGUA.
Tuyuk heads an organization she founded in 1985, known by its Spanish acronym Esconavigua, the National Coordinator of Guatemalan Widows.
Que fundamos junto a otras mujeres que fuimos víctimas del genocidio en nuestro país.
The organization Conavigua fights for the rights of women who were raped and widowed during the country's long civil conflict. Rosalina Tuyuk tells me that what led her to organize this widows association came out of her own experience.
Porque yo sigo buscando a mi padre que fue detenido, desaparecido forzosamente.
I'm still looking for the remains of my father, she says. He was detained and forcibly disappeared, along with my husband and a number of other relatives.
Quizá todo el tiempo de la guerra hasta ahora siempre estuvo marcado.
Rosalina says what the Guatemalans call the time of the violence, almost four long decades of war lasting from 1960 to 1996, was a time of much pain for her and for countless Maya women, especially the bloody 1980s.
We found terrible devastation, village after village destroyed, with some of the houses still burning.
Entonces, uno no termina el ciclo de la vida, y en el caso de nosotros, que siempre hemos buscado a mi padre.
Her family's pain, she says, comes from the constant search for her father's remains and the memory of other loved ones lost to violence. Like it or not, she says, this will always be a source of anguish.
Nos cuesta sanar las heridas del pasado.
Even after all this time, she says, the war officially ended more than two decades ago, it's hard to heal the wounds of the past. This isn't just the case for Rosalina Tuyuk, but for thousands of other Maya women who endured similar losses.
First, I mean, there was the very real trauma of what they experienced, either the disappearances or the actual husband being killed right in front of them, and that was true in a number of cases.
Anthropologist Linda Green writes about the challenges these women faced, not only emotional loss, but just trying to survive and support their children.
You know, for several years, there were no corn crops planted because of displacement. So there was enormous food insecurity. Women didn't have the money to buy the fertilizer. They themselves either had to work those fields or they had to hire mozos to do it for them.
Fear and necessity drove many from their homes. Many also suffered in other ways.
Chronic headaches, gastritis, inability to sleep, tense, nervous, as well as the physical manifestations of trauma that we now call post-traumatic stress syndrome here in the United States.
Pero también en medio de eso siempre hay felicidad, hay éxitos.
Today, Rosalina Tuyuk believes that the universe gives us a chance to find balance along with the pain.
Hay fortaleza en medio de todas esas amenazas.
Even with all these threats to life, she says, there's joy and opportunities to demonstrate strength. But she'd come to this understanding gradually. For more than 25 years, she'd had questions about why the tragedies of the war had happened.
Siempre había una pregunta del por qué, por qué, por qué.
Why was there no father, no husband? Why did the Guatemalan army kill so many people? Rosalina Tuyuk found answers to these questions in the teachings of her ancestors, passed down through the generations. At a young age, indigenous healing traditions were part of her life, even though few people publicly acknowledged or valued them. When she was small, Rosalina's father was a music teacher who did some work with the Catholic Church.
También él curaba a los enfermos.
She remembers people would call on him when they were ill.
Lastimosamente, la colonización que sufrimos los pueblos indígenas nos...
Sadly, she says, the colonization of the indigenous made us believe that our knowledge and our practices weren't worthwhile. It's something that was ingrained in us since we were little.
Desde pequeño uno va entendiendo que eso no es bueno, ¿verdad?
Because her family was Catholic, as a child, she didn't always realize that these Maya practices were all around her.
Mi abuela materna era comadrona.
It's something that one carries in one's blood, from knowledge passed down by the grandfathers and grandmothers. My maternal grandmother was a midwife. My paternal grandfather was a great farmer, and he would give thanks to the earth.
Saludar al sol, la salida del sol, la bajada del sol.
And salute the sun when it rose and at the sunset.
Agradecer la lluvia, agradecer el aire.
He would give thanks to the rain and to the air.
Pedir permiso por ir a trabajar el campo.
He would ask the earth for permission to work the land. So these are traditions not taught inside churches, but in the collective customs of a people.
Y eso son prácticas que no se encuentra dentro de las iglesias, sino más dentro de la práctica común de la gente.
But because of her very religious upbringing, Rosalina says that as an adult, it was difficult at first to accept Maya cosmovision.
Como yo vengo de una familia muy religiosa, me costó mucho, pues, aceptar la cosmovisión maya. Cabalmente en el año 80, cuando desapareció mi esposo...
Rosalina says that in 1980, after her husband disappeared, she sought out an elder, and he told her, "Your husband won't be found, nor will you hear about your father."
Y tenés que empezar a vivir por tus hijos, a vivir por tu familia.
And he said, "Now you have to start thinking about yourself, about your children. Now you have to live for you and for them."
Entonces, tenés que empezar a ver tu misión de vida.
He told her, "Now you have to live your life's mission." It was then, she says, that she began to understand that what the Maya called cosmovision is not a religion.
No es una religión.
Many call it spirituality. It's very complex and holistic, she says, encompassing everything, the cosmos and nature. Rosalina says when the elder asked, "Do you know what your mission is?" The only thing she could respond was,
"Tengo deseos de curar."
That she was a woman with a desire to heal and to help people.
De curar a la gente, de ayudar a la gente.
Even after she sought the elder's advice, Rosalina discovered she had more to learn from the traditional teachings of her Cachiquel Maya culture.
Yo entendí que sí, es bueno. Pensar que no estamos derrotados.
That's when I began to understand that it's good not to feel defeated, that we should keep moving forward, loving life and our existence.
Que si no fuera por esos sabios consejos, quizá estaría igual como muchas mujeres que murieron.
So, if it weren't for these wise teachings, she says, I might be like so many women who suffered and basically stopped living because of their pain, who died with no hope for a better life. Traditional religion had taught them to accept suffering in return for a happy afterlife.
A veces nos condenan a
que... I think that sometimes conventional religion condemns us to suffer, to not live life fully and in balance.
Y yo agradezco profundamente a muchos ancianos, a muchas ancianas.
I'm profoundly grateful, she says, to the many elders, men and women who told us it isn't good to keep on suffering, because we were meant to be happy. We were meant to take care of Mother Earth, to protect all life, be it human or animal, the life of everything that lives on this planet. Embracing her culture, she says, allowed her to make sense of all that had happened and to heal.
En medio de todo esas amenazas para la vida.
Now she can say that, even with all these threats to life, she's profoundly grateful to the universe to be alive, to have grandchildren, to fight alongside other women. All this, she says, has given her strength to continue with her life's mission.
Luchar junto con las mujeres, eso me ha dado mucha vida.
Maya Cosmovision also gave Rosalina a way of looking at the material world. It gave direction to her human rights work.
Digamos desde los años 85.
In 1985, when I began my work with the women, she says, and there was also the commemoration of the 500 years of colonialism, that's when I began to understand how Maya Cosmovision connected with my social and political work.
La cosmovisión también es organización, también es político, también es económico.
I began to understand that the Cosmovision is also about organizing, about politics, about economics. So I started to defend the rights of indigenous people, their way of being, of acting, of thinking.
Su forma de ser, su forma de actuar, su forma de pensar.
Her work with the widows in the late 80s and early 90s coincided with the reawakening of Maya identity. Not only for Rosalina, but for other indigenous leaders, like the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Rigoberta Menchú.
A la hermana Rigoberta Menchú me hizo conocer mucho más esa profundidad histórica de los pueblos indígenas.
Sister Rigoberta Menchú, says Rosalina, helped me understand the profound complexity of indigenous communities. By the time peace accords finally ended Guatemala's conflict in 1996, the widows' association Rosalina Tuyuk founded, CONABIGUA, had become one of the leading human rights organizations in Guatemala. And 4 years after the war ended, Rosalina Tuyuk became the first Maya Cachiquel to serve in the Guatemalan Congress.
Fue muy importante esa época porque, bueno, de 80 diputados, habíamos 6 indígenas.
That time was key, Rosalina recalls. Out of 80 Congress members, 6 of us were indigenous. And some important legislation was passed. For example, outlawing amnesty for crimes of genocide. Still, it was an uphill struggle being in the minority and maintaining her identity as an indigenous woman. Wearing her traditional traje, a woven skirt and top, Rosalina Tuyuk would bring her baby to the Congress, nursing her when needed. And some people criticized her for that.
Pero yo dije, si el voto popular me llevó al Congreso, me tiene que aceptar por ser madre, por ser campesina, por ser indígena.
But, she says, I would say if the popular vote brought me to Congress, then I have to be accepted as a mother, as a peasant, as indigenous.
Las mujeres mayas siempre.
We Maya women always carry our small children with us when we're shopping or weaving or working, because that's when the learning starts.
Desde ese escenario comienza el aprendizaje.
Following the war, the government of Guatemala established a reparations program for war widows, and Rosalina became its director.
I went to one of these ceremonies where they were giving money to these women.
Eliza Strode is an American who spent many years in Guatemala. She and others recall that during her time as director of the compensation program, Rosalina worked to dignify not only the memory of the dead by leading the effort to exhume mass graves and identify the remains, but also of the living, fighting to give war widows financial and emotional support.
And she would just open her arms and envelop them in a hug. I mean, it was like so moving. She was just like so totally present.
The government funded the reparations program for only a few years. With no consistent institutional support, Rosalina Tuyu continues working with the widows, many of them elderly and dying, in whatever way she can.
The widows of war crimes, she is really helping them and helping their children, and I am absolutely impressed with this woman.
Dr. Bill Clements is an alternative medicine practitioner working with the poor in Guatemala. He's known Rosalina for some 15 years. Together, they've conducted medical missions in neglected communities.
She's very loving and caring. I remember when an 88-year-old woman came in through the rain, no shoes, no children, cutest little grandma. But Rosalina dried her off with a towel and combed her hair back and hugged on her to warm her up.
Es el icono de la resistencia ante la brutalidad del ejército en los tiempos de guerra.
Jordán Rodas is Guatemala's human rights ombudsman. He believes Rosalina has become an icon of brave resistance to military brutality. She went to Congress and came out with her head held high, he says. She's truly a role model to emulate.
Es un ejemplo de una lideresa política en el país digna de imitar.
Although international human rights groups have recognized Rosalina Tuyu for her work, she tells me she doesn't do it for the awards.
Mucha gente creía que los mayas pasaron hace 500 años.
When I was growing up, she says, we were taught that the Maya had disappeared.
Que ya no existían.
And the only thing that remained of them were tourist attractions. We grew up being taught we were just worthless Indians.
Y que ahora solo somos indígenas. Ah, no, ni siquiera nos decían indígenas. Somos los indios.
Despite some social progress, Guatemala's Maya still strive to achieve parity and respect in their own country, where opponents feel increasingly free to attack indigenous human rights defenders and practitioners of Maya spirituality. In June of 2020, witnesses watched in horror as members of an evangelical sect dragged the internationally recognized Maya healer and plant medicine expert Domingo Chokche into a field, doused him with gasoline, and set him on fire. His attackers accused Chok of witchcraft. His death called attention to continuing discrimination in Guatemala against those who practice traditional Maya religion. So Rosalina Tuyuk says she now has a renewed commitment to vindicate her culture and its spiritual traditions, and to honor those who've perished to keep it alive.
Entonces vinieron todas las luchas de reivindicación.
It's a revindication, she says, not only of art and culture, but of rights and history.
No es ningún regalo.
And it's not a gift, she says. It has a cost. And so we have to continue to struggle to maintain our culture.
Que regaron su sangre en esta sagrada tierra.
Especially in memory of those who've shed their blood on this sacred land. I'm Maria Martin in Antigua, Guatemala.
Once more, here's Nobel Peace Laureate Rigoberta Menchú of Guatemala with a suggestion for her audience at the University of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Ustedes saben que yo soy doctora y tengo 6 doctorados honoris causa. Pero quisiera, por ejemplo, con algunas universidades de Estados Unidos, que invitaran en programas, por ejemplo, las viudas, los dirigentes populares, que hayan cursos específicos donde haya oportunidad de intercambio, de reencuentro, y que eso sea válida.
As you might know, I am a doctor, and I have 6 honoris causa doctor degrees. And what I would suggest is that through some universities, there could be an invitation to popular leaders, to widows, and to academic youth, so that these exchanges could take place.
La mayoría de las veces, los técnicos, los expertos, los antropólogos, sociólogos, han ido a nuestros pueblos con la idea de ir a estudiar la gente, pero nunca ha ido con la idea de dejarse que sea estudiado, ¿verdad?, por la misma gente.
Most experts, most technicians, anthropologists, sociologists, and others have gone to our land to study us, not realizing that we should also be studying them.
Entonces, ir allá no significa ir a estudiar seres humanos. Ya cuando uno se pone a estudiar seres humanos, ya se siente muy grande y entonces ya no va a aprender mucho.
She says that if one goes somewhere to study human beings, it is quite possible that that person has gotten too big for his or her britches and they're no longer going to understand.
Y entonces, que la educación cambie esas reglas, que la gente no estudie a otros, sino que se coloque como una parte pequeña, pero inseparable de esa causa, y aprenderá mucho y educará bastante. Eso es la juventud que queremos para el futuro, y eso es la academia que tiene que nacer en el futuro.
Those who study and those who teach must learn that they're only a small part of the whole of humanity, and it is that type of learning that I hope will take place, and that type of youth with such understanding that I hope will come about.
Rigoberta Menchú's talk was recorded in 1994 and shared with Wings by Monica Boyerlein. Maria Martin's documentary on Rosalina Tuyuk Velasquez first aired in the Sacred Steps series produced for KALW's project, The Spiritual Edge. Next week on Wings, the theme is Mayan Weaving Revival in Guatemala. To hear Wings programs again or learn more about our series, email wings@wings.org or look for Wings Radio on Facebook or visit our new website, wingsradio.org/WordPress. If your local community radio station has Wings on their schedule, please thank them. If not, you might suggest they consider airing Wings. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found at gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.